Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
And there are two readings this morning. The first one is from John chapter 6, starting at verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And the second reading is Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?"
Thank you, Anne. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here, as always. Fond greetings from Oakley Community Church as well. I love being here, but I love being at Oakley as well. Continuing our series on... what's the name of our series? Life in His Name. I knew that. I have slept since last night, but it's anyway. Continue our series on life in His name, and we're looking at this account today of Jesus walking on water and what that means to us today. What can we get from that that passage today? And all of us, if we're honest, will confess to having some sort of fear or other in our lives. We all have fears, even as Christian believers. If we're honest, we'll confess to having them. And I want us to look this morning from this passage at how we can overcome our fears through faith in Jesus Christ. And looking at the accounts of Matthew's, of this story, we're told that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him. And then Jesus dismissed the crowd and went up the mountain to pray by himself. Now this is very, really significant. It's very important to note that Jesus did this. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. He commanded them to get in the boat and go across the lake. And I want you to notice here that Jesus put the disciples in a situation where they were without his physical or visible presence. Without his physical or visible presence. And that's one of the reasons why this story is so relevant for us this morning. Because that's exactly what it's like for us in our walk with Jesus Christ. We're called to trust a Christ who we do not see and yet is with us. We do not see him and yet he's with us through faith. So we're told the disciples do exactly as Jesus commands, and they go out into the lake, and then we're told a huge gale begins to blow, and they're battling with this storm that they're in. And it's dark, and they're trying to stay afloat in the darkness with the wind and the waves ever increasing. And when you think about it, this is also a great picture of the Christian life, of what the Christian life can be like sometimes. The disciples were being obedient to Jesus Christ. They were obeying Jesus. They did what he told them. He told them to go over to the other side of the lake, so they did. And what was the consequence, the results of their obedience? They ended up in a terrifying storm, in the dark, on their own. And it was their obedience to Christ that got them in this difficult situation in the first place. If they didn't do what Jesus said, they wouldn't be in this situation now. Meanwhile, we're told Jesus is up by himself on the mountain and he's praying. And the disciples can't see Jesus, but in Mark's account of this same of this story, we're told that Jesus sees them. Jesus sees them. And I wonder this morning if that's ever happened to you, where you have stepped out in obedience to Jesus Christ over something, and all it seems to have brought you is just pain and difficulty and suffering and disappointment. You've committed to obeying him and living for his glory, but suddenly you discover that being obedient to Jesus Christ is much, much more difficult than you ever thought it would ever be. And it feels like you're sinking. And when that happens, and it happens to all of us at some point, when that happens, you need to be reminded of this. That Jesus Christ sees you and is praying for you. Jesus Christ sees you and is praying for you. That's what the Bible teaches. That Jesus has ascended onto the mountain of heaven, and there he is interceding before the Father relentlessly for you. Jesus Christ is praying for you. Right now, you can't see him, but he can see you, and he knows the size of the storm, the size of the waves, and the speed of the wind that you are facing right now in your life. And then we're told in Matthew that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes to the disciples. And I'm told, reliably informed, that that's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning that Jesus comes off the mountain and he goes to the disciples. 3 and 6 in the morning. Where has he been all night? The disciples had been out in the lake fighting this storm in obedience to Christ since the early evening. And Jesus has allowed them, he can see them, and he's allowed them to struggle against the force of the wind for hours and hours and hours. Why does he do that? Why does he wait so long before reaching out to them? Why doesn't he just come immediately when he sees that they're in trouble? I want to suggest this as a reason this morning. Is that Jesus waits because it's only in the struggle of obedience that Christ will make you the person that he wants you to be. It's only in the struggle of doing the will of Christ that he will forge, shape, and strengthen your faith. It's the only way. And then we're told that Jesus sees the disciples struggling, and he comes out to them finally, and then he gives them a glimpse of who he really is, a glimpse of his glory. Here is the Son of God revealed to the disciples in a way they haven't seen before. And not surprisingly, the disciples are absolutely terrified, and they think that this is a ghost walking out across the water to them. It never occurs to them that this might be Jesus, because up until now, they only knew Jesus as a man, a human being. And human beings, in case you weren't aware of it, can't walk on water. They just can't. I've tried it. And in John 6, verse 12, Jesus says to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then suddenly, they have a glimpse of the greater glory of Jesus Christ standing before them. And we're told that Peter, seeing this fresh glimpse of Christ, is filled with faith, and he wants to come out and meet Jesus on the water. And he calls out, "Jesus, if it's you," because he's still not sure, "if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come," and Peter is convinced that he can do anything Jesus tells him to, so he steps out, and sure enough, he walks on the water. Incredible. What does that tell us? It tells us that you can do whatever Christ calls you to do. You can. If Christ has called you to it, you can do it. Whether it be celibacy, whether it be singleness, whether it's to pay your tax, whether it's to just, whatever it may be. If Christ calls you, you can do it. Yes, you are a fallible, frail human being. Of course you are. But by his grace, you can do whatever he calls you to do. Whatever God asks you, he will always give you the ability to achieve. One of my favorite sayings is, wherever God guides, he always provides. Always. I don't just mean financially, but in whatever gifts or abilities you need, he always provides. And Peter has grasped this. So he steps out in faith, and he discovers that the power of Christ takes him way beyond his own human limitations. And he can now begin to obey Christ in a way that would have been otherwise impossible for him just by his human ability. Friends, the Christian life is hard. And the Christian life is way beyond our natural ability to live. Please don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Jesus says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." It is hard. We're constantly swimming against the tide of society all the time, where we're told to go one way and we have to go in a different direction. And it's hard to stand up and be counted. Christian life is hard. And the things that Jesus calls us to are hard. But whatever Christ commands, he always imparts the power to achieve. And with the command, always comes the power. Always, when you step out. It doesn't come until you step out. I know from experience. And Peter was doing so, so well. He was really doing great. But then, as was so often the case with Peter, he messes it up. And I like Peter because he reminds me so much of me. Because that's what I do loads of times. Just when I'm doing well, I mess it up. I say something I shouldn't. I do something I shouldn't. Ask my wife. So how does he mess it up? Well, fear suddenly kicks in. And in Matthew 14, verse 30, we're told, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. He was afraid. Fear made him start sinking. And we need to acknowledge this morning, even as Christian believers, that fear is powerful. Fear is a mighty power, and it battles to grip your mind and to grip your heart. And if you allow it, it will cripple your faith. It will. I wonder what your fear is this morning. Fear of Brexit. Fear of being alone in life. Fear of old age. Fear of not having children, fear of your finances, fear of remaining single for the rest of your life, and on and on and on. Fear that you'll be unemployed, your job, you've got job insecurity. What is your fear this morning? And whatever it is, the question for us has to be then, how do we deal with this enemy of fear that can be so powerful? How do we deal with it? I want to identify very briefly two things from this story. First thing, in how we can battle this enemy of fear, the first thing is that we need to understand that faith and fear together are illogical. They're illogical. What do I mean by that? Well, Peter, we're told, steps out of the boat in faith, and he begins to walk on the water. He can do it. He's doing it, just like Jesus told him he would. He could trust Jesus to suspend the laws of gravity. No problem. You can do it, Lord. You said it. You can do it. I'm stepping out. And he's walking on the water. But when he felt the wind blowing, suddenly he wasn't so sure anymore. And he thinks, hang on, what on earth am I doing? I shouldn't be doing this. It's not possible. I'm scared. You see, Peter trusted Jesus. It was obvious, otherwise he wouldn't have stepped out of the boat. Peter trusted Jesus, but only up to a point. That was the problem. Only up to a point. Think about Peter's response for a moment, because it's completely irrational, completely illogical. Lord, I trust you to suspend the laws of gravity, but only when the weather's good. Not when it's windy. Then it's a different game. Doesn't make sense, does it? If Peter can trust Jesus to defy gravity and so he steps out on the water, why then is he so worried about the wind? Can't Jesus handle that as well? And maybe there's someone here this morning and you're in a life situation that just doesn't make sense to you now. You have faith in God, you have trusted Christ, and you've stepped out in faith, but things haven't quite worked out as you hoped, or things haven't changed much, and you're beginning to waver in your faith, and you're saying, oh no, why did I do this? And you're beginning to sink. Maybe it's to do with your work, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's finance, singleness, habitual sin that you've asked God for strength to help, to overcome, but you're still struggling with. Maybe it's praying for healing for yourself or someone, and God still doesn't seem to have delivered. In fact, things have got worse the more you've prayed. Or maybe you thought that God has had a plan for you. You were so sure, but now it seems to have all gone wrong. And you're sinking, and you don't understand what God is doing. You're confused, you're disappointed, and you're discouraged, and maybe you're even angry. And you're beginning to doubt God's ability to help you in these areas of your life. And if that is where you are this morning, then if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want to ask you some questions. You up for that? And I want to answer yes or no. So, man, that's it. Top of the class. You'll go far. Don't worry about work. You'll go far. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead and that he will one day also raise you from the dead? Yes. Do you trust Christ with your eternal destiny? Yes. Do you believe that because you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ and made him Lord of your life, that one day you will be in heaven with him for all eternity? Yes. Brilliant. It's great, isn't it? Wonderful. We all believe all these things about the future and our eternity. Well, why is it then that you can trust God for the things to come, but you find it so hard to trust him with the things of today? Doesn't make sense, does it? Why is that? Think about the things that you're fearing about now. You can trust him with the things of eternal. You have trusted him with the greatest issues of your life, eternity, forgiveness, resurrection, eternity. If you can trust him with those things, then surely you can trust him to keep you from whatever waves you are facing now. Of course you'll go through storms in your life. But having trusted the things of eternal, then surely you can trust him with everything else in your life. Otherwise it doesn't make sense. Can you see how fear and faith and fear together are just illogical? The second thing that I want us to look at in fighting this enemy of fear is focus on Christ. When Peter's focus was completely on Christ, he had the ability and the power to fulfill the command Jesus gave to him. He walked on the water. But when he stopped gazing at Christ and he focused instead on the strength of the wind, the height of the waves, and the danger of the situation, he began to sink. And Psalm 27, verse 4 tells us that King David asked the Lord for the one thing that he longed for most. And that was, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, is what David said. Why does he ask that? In order to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That was what David longed for more than anything else, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And that's what worship is actually all about. To gaze upon the beauty, the glory of Jesus Christ. David understood that his faith couldn't be sustained on just occasional glimpses of the glory of Christ. So he longs for a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ and his glory on a daily basis. Every day he wants to see it. He knows how hard it is to be a Christian. So he needs this glimpse of Jesus every single day. So what should we seek as we come before the Lord in our daily Bible reading and prayers? To gain a fresh glimpse of Jesus. What are we aiming for ultimately when we gather here on Sunday mornings? To gain a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ. Why do we need that? Because that is how our faith is renewed and that is how our faith is sustained. So we come here this morning from the pressures of the week. We've been seeing the waves and the strength of the wind in our lives. And those things have begun to chip away and erode at our faith. So we come this morning afresh to direct our gaze at Jesus Christ as we lift our hearts in worship through song, through his word, through prayer. And as we do that, our faith is strengthened. So when we sing a song, the point of it is that we catch a fresh glimpse of Jesus. As we have the word read and unpacked through the sermon each Sunday, the point is to catch a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ as we're going to share communion in a little while together. And we're going to focus on the incomprehensible sacrifice, love, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. As we do that, we're to catch a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ. And in the light of all that, as we come to prayer and ministry, we're saying, Lord, in the light of all this, here are the waves in my life. I bring them before you, recognizing that you are bigger than all of them. True worship will always bring Jesus into view. Always. So as we conclude, I want to leave you with a remedy for our struggle, for your struggle, for my struggle with fear. Do you want to hear it? Remedy for your struggle with fear. Stop looking at it. It's easy, isn't it? Stop looking at it and fix your eyes instead on Jesus Christ. That's what worship, through reading his word, praising him through song, and praying is all about. Why do we need it? Because it gives us a fresh glimpse of the glory of Jesus. We're to fill our minds not with the waves around us, not with the wind, but with the greatness and the power and the glory and the beauty of the Savior. That is what we're to do. And we're to do that until we come to the point where we can say, in the light of all this now, I can trust you. I can trust you even when the weather is bad. I can still trust you. And that's exactly what Peter discovered. I'll close with this. Somebody gave me a word once. They've given me words lots of times, but this one in particular, during an exceptionally difficult period in my life, when I felt totally battered and bruised by the storm and the waves that life was throwing at me at the time, and it felt as though I was sinking. And the more obedient and faithful I was to Christ, the worse the storm seemed to be. And the word that I was given was this: Jesus is the Lord of the storm. Jesus is the Lord of the storm. And I had that on my bedroom wall for years. woke up to it every morning and looked at it. Jesus is Lord of the storm. Jesus is in command of the wind, the waves, and the storm. And the waves that threatened to overcome Peter were under the lordship of Jesus. And the waves that threaten to overcome you this morning are also under the lordship of Jesus. That means that whatever the storm of your life is this morning, Jesus Christ remains in control. You may not see him, but he sees you and he's praying for you specifically. So fix your eyes and keep your gaze on his glory, on Jesus Christ, and stop looking at your fear. I want us to pray and then I'm going to hand over to David to lead us into our time of communion. Father, we know that we are frail, fallible human beings that are prone to just go our own way. And Lord, we know we shouldn't fear, but we confess that we often do. And Father, in those times, we pray that you remind us of your word this morning to stop looking at our fear, but instead to focus our gaze on you, seeking to catch a fresh glimpse of your glory in order that we may be sustained. And Father, we thank you that you see us even though we don't see you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you pray for us and you're praying for us relentlessly, even in the midst of the storm. We thank you, Lord. Amen.